are getting it through the children's message and the songs we've been singing and all that we're doing. Thank you. I'd like to ask you a simple question. What would you most like to be remembered for? What would you most like to be remembered for? Think about that. Take that question home with you. I've thought about it, and I have an answer, and it fits the message of today. I'd like to be remembered for having a grateful heart. What a wonderful thing to be known for. What a wonderful thing to be remembered for. Having a grateful heart. In 1742, John Wesley wrote a pamphlet called The Character of a Methodist. And in that article, he wrote these words: "A Methodist gives thanks at all times and in all circumstances. A Methodist is content, whether in plenty or in little, whether in leisure or in suffering, whether in sickness or in health, whether living or dying. A Methodist is not anxious for anything, for a Methodist has thankfully cast all his or her cares into the hands of a loving and caring God." The third mark of a Methodist, according to John Wesley, is a Methodist gives thanks. The first mark, a Methodist loves God. The second mark, a Methodist rejoices in God. But today, the mark is a Methodist gives thanks. We are a people who are known not only for the warmed heart, having received God's love. We're also known as the people of the grateful heart, having received God's blessings. Now, it wasn't always so in the life of John Wesley. I have a little book from time to time that I like to read. If I can get it out here in my pocket, I'll read it for you. It's this tiny little book, and I'm not kidding. It's a little book. Little book. Time to time, I refer to it. I'd like to read a little passage from it for you. John Wesley was not always a thankful person. He was a student at Oxford University, and one night he was feeling kind of out of sorts, and a custodian came in to clean his room, and he said, and this is recorded in his diary, "Why don't you go home and get another coat, sir?" John teased, noting the old man's tattered condition. He said, "This is the only coat I have, and I give thanks to God for it." Wesley tried again. "Then go home and eat your dinner. I haven't had anything today but a drink of water, and I thank God for that." Wesley was amazed by the man's love for God in the face of poverty. Never had he seen such sincere thankfulness and so unlikely an individual. "What other things do you thank God for?" Wesley asked, no longer joking. "I thank him that he has given me my life and being, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him." Many years passed before John Wesley, with his quick mind and great learning, was able to reach the same level of faith as that old janitor. Isn't that something? You know, we learn how to be thankful. We're taught that in our homes. But as we go through life, it's a lesson that we really have to learn over and over and over again. This is a mark of a disciple, not just a Methodist. This is a mark of the disciple of Jesus Christ, a disciple who give thanks. I'd like to ask this question for you to think about. Why do we give thanks? as disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, the first thing that we give thanks for is for the Lord's indescribable gift of grace. The second thing that we thank God for is for what He has done. The third thing we thank God for is for who He is, His nature. And then the next thing we thank Him for, the fourth thing we thank Him for, is that in all circumstances, good or bad, He is with us. And then the last thing we thank God for is that gratitude, saying thanks, leads us out of our anxious thoughts to a place of abiding peace. Let me go back and touch base with all these reasons why we give thanks as the disciple of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul writes to the church of Corinth about gifts. God gives gifts. He gives spiritual gifts. But behind every gift really is the greatest gift of God's grace that surrounds us all our life, in all times, in all places. We are like a goldfish in a fishbowl surrounded by water. We are surrounded by grace. No matter what goes on, what happens, we have been given the gift of grace. And that is an indescribable gift. And so, Paul says, we give thanks for God's indescribable gift, the gift of grace. That's where we start out. Because that's what our whole life is about, is a response to God's grace. All our life is but a response to God's grace. And then, of course, the second thing, we thank God for what He has done. I like Psalm 111. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Now, when we have communion, we give thanks to God for His saving acts in Jesus Christ. But we also know we give God thanks for our daily blessings and for things that happen. And we give God thanks because every good and perfect gift comes from above, as Polly was saying. We also, though, thank God just simply for what, for who He is. Not for what He's done for us or done or any of His acts, but simply His nature. And we see that in the scripture, Psalm 106. I will give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. We thank God for His nature, His goodness. I thank God, thank the Lord, because He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. Just for who God is. A glorious God, a God of variety, a God of color. Just look around at creation. Tells you something about God, not everything. But God is rich in goodness, this we know. So we thank God for who He is. That part of that, His character that never changes. And we also thank God for this, that in every circumstance, Paul says, for us to give God thanks in every circumstance. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of circumstances that make it very difficult for me to thank God for anything. And we need to be clear here, because God does not give us bad times. God is not responsible for so many of the circumstances that we are in. So the question is, why? Okay, but what are we thanking Him for? We're thanking Him for this. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. So even in the valley, which is a difficult circumstance, we can thank Him because He is with us. And of course, we know that also from Romans chapter 8, verse 38, where Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God." And so that's a reason why we thank God. And we need to remember that. And then the last reason, and this is very helpful for me. I have found that being able to express my gratitude leads me out of my worry and my anxious thoughts. It just does. As we begin to express thanks, it changes the weather in our soul. From, being anxious and worried to being trustful and hopeful and happy. Now, the next question is this. If those are the reasons why we give thanks to God as disciples of Jesus Christ, how can we best do that? Well, there's a variety of ways, but here are some of the ways that I've learned. And this is a fun one. You know what? You can express your thankfulness to God simply by singing unto God. That's worship. And of course, there are so many songs. I've been humming this one so much that Polly said, "Well, eventually you'll get it right. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks." Now, I can't sing that without winding up, first of all, expressing my thanks, but as I said before, also feeling thankful. There's a hymn, I won't try to do this one, but it's got perfect words. I don't know the number, but it's in our hymnal. "Now thank we all our God. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today." Singing. Do you have a song you can sing sometime during the day to express your thanks? I think singing, worship, is the place where we begin. A second way that we can express our thanks is simply through praying. Anne Lamott has a book. I think it's called, and I may have it out of order, but "Wow, Help, and Thank You." And it's about praying. She says, Those are only three prayers she has. Wow, when she's just stunned by God's glory. Help, when she's in trouble. And thank you for who God is and what He does. Now, prayer is our language. It's the way we are in conversation with God. And you know what? It's okay to go through the day and wherever you are, wherever you're doing, just to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you." So in our prayers, we can thank Him. Now, we can also thank Him in a very practical way. When we think about all our blessings, if we truly want to be thankful, we will share what we have. If we have plenty of food, we're more than willing to share with those who may not have food. We may jump in and help stop hunger now. We may take some things to the Dorcas shop. We ask ourselves, well, how thankful are we really? Because you can say you're thankful, but until you learn to share, you may not be truly as thankful as you think you are. I've got transportation. I've got a car. Have I offered my car, my transportation, to take someone to a doctor's office who couldn't get there without help? almost everything that I have can be shared with persons who don't have these things. That's a way that I express my thankfulness. Do you have good health? Are you thankful for it? Have you given blood? Have you thought about people who don't have good health care? Have you become an advocate, a voice for those who are in need of good health care? If we're truly thankful, we will share. Well, there's also another way that we can give thanks, and that is simply to turn thanksgiving into thanks living. And that's a lifestyle. And that means that we establish a habit of setting aside a time on a regular basis to count our blessings and to give thanks to God. This is a discipline, and that should not be a strange word to Methodists, because we practice the disciplines of the Spirit. And so John Wesley, every day in his prayers, had a word that gathered up his thoughts. The first two commandments, love God and love neighbor, and surrendering to God's will to do those things, that was all the days of the week. But on Saturday was his day to think back over the week and to write down his blessings and to express his thankfulness. So he had a time set aside for him to intentionally express his gratitude, to count his blessings. Now, how... the question really is this: how can we develop a discipline of expressing thanks and giving thanks to God? How can we develop a discipline? Well, we can do like what John Wesley did. We can actually set aside a time. Now, I have a practice that I do. It's a little bit different. But every week, and I've been doing this for 2 years, I have a notebook. And at the top of the notebook, it says, thank you. And I try to think of, and this can go either way, vertical or horizontal, expressing thanks. And I try to think of someone I can send a letter or a note to say thank you. And I'll think about it, and then I'll write that person's name down and the reason I'm expressing my thanks. And then below that, I try to think of a gratitude memory. A memory that when I recall it, I re-experience something of the grace of God, the joy of living, and the joy of love and peace. And so I'll write down a gratitude memory out of the distant past, usually. And then the third thing that I do, of course, is I have a scripture each week that I commit to memory. So develop some sort of discipline in which you make it a practice to count your blessings and set aside some time. Now, there's one other thing that I like to do, and here it is right here. I need to practice this on a more regular basis. But at the beginning of a new week, and Sunday's the beginning of a new week, get an index card, big or small. I want you to spend some time to think about this. But I want you to think of three things that without a shadow of a doubt you're thankful for. And you will always be thankful for. It won't change. It won't change such that whenever you pull it out and begin to read it, it'll lead you into a spirit of thankfulness. It'll change your day. And sometimes we need to pull that card out when we catch ourselves becoming troubled, or when we grumble, or when we're in tough situations. And each week, write down three things that are your top three. Now, for me, like I said, I'm not doing this on a regular basis, but I do have a card that I can pull out anytime, and I'm not changing this. This is my card for the year, okay? I can pull it out anytime and see what I wrote. Thank you, God. I had a father and mother who loved me, whose blessing I carry with me today. Wow. Nothing can rob me of that. Nothing can rob me of that. Thank you. Number two, thank you, God, for calling me into the ministry, for all the people who have enriched my life and the churches I've served over the past 28 years. Nobody can take that away from me. Thank you, God. Number three, thank you, God, for the blessing of my life partner, my beloved wife, Polly, who's shown me how to love and to be loved. Now, that's on my card. So developing a discipline of turning thanksgiving into thanksgiving can be as simple as that. But think about it. Don't let it be haphazard in your life. Develop some sort of discipline by which you can express gratitude. I like this prayer by George Herbert. Oh Lord, Thou hast given so much to me. Give me one thing more. A grateful heart. I love that prayer. And then Meister Eckhart, a mystic of the Christian faith in the early first couple of centuries, wrote this. If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. And if you receive an email from me from the computer in my office, you'll see that down there right before my fancy title and everything is that quote by Meister Eckhart, because I love it. And then this past week, as I was looking at things, I came across this. I don't know who did this, so I'm claiming it for myself. Listen up, everybody. In moments of happiness, praise God. In moments of difficulty, seek God. In moments of quietness, worship God. In moments of pain, trust God. But in every moment, thank God. Yes, that's the mark of the disciple of Jesus Christ. And I believe that when others see you living that way, they will want to know why. And that's the greatest witness to our faith that we can have. Because then we can share. We're thankful for the indescribable gifts of God's grace. That's for everybody, already at work in everybody. And that gives us the opportunity to invite others to say yes to the God who has already said yes to them. Our invitation to prayer is simply this. Polly and I will pray with you, but today we're going to pray with you in such a way that in whatever you're going through, we're going to find the hidden treasure in that and thank God for the hidden treasure. So if you have a need and would like prayer, we'll pray for you. But we're going to help you learn how to pray looking for the hidden treasure that's even in the midst of our circumstances. Let us stand.